close to my, not only close to my heart, but actually that's who I am and where I'm coming from. It's my DNA, really. You know, grace provides and faith obtains. And this is a faith and grace church. None of us could or would be here except for the grace of God. No matter where you come from or what your past has been, the grace of God has provided everything that God has for us. Everything. Everything God has for us has been provided for us by grace. Everything. But it's faith that obtains. And I've used the illustration quite often from years ago that faith reaches out. It's that hand of God that reaches out and lays hold of the promises of God. You've got to lay hold of it. Believe it. Read it. Let it be a part of your life. Tonight is going to be a powerful night, 6:30. I've really been fired up about the overflow. Reminds me of a number of years ago when we were on the station that Jimmy Swaggart owned here in Fort Worth, or the Metroplex, KWJS. Kenneth Copeland was on that station, and I was on the station. Brother Shambach was on that station, and Brother Swaggart was on that station. And so help me, in a week, or was it a two-week period of time, you'd have thought we were all in the back room reading each other's notes. You see, the Spirit of God knows how to orchestrate things. And none of us had talked in any recent time. But listening to those broadcasts, I don't know how many people said, "Pastor, do you realize that it seems like everybody's saying the same thing?" Well, you know, that's not bad either. On the day of Pentecost, they were in one place and in one accord. It's amazing what God can do when things are in one place and one accord. Amen. Insight that God gave me years ago has held me steady. This one thing I do. We get too diversified. We get too busy. We get too many other things, too many irons in the fire. But this one thing. Used to be able to buy a nice pen that I use. In flight, you could buy them very cheaply, but somewhere that changed along the way. Well, I not only had one, but I saw in a flight magazine what I could buy one for on board, and I bought another one, and it was a real bargain. It was the hardest thing I ever had to do to keep up with two pens. For some reason, it's easier to keep up with one pen than it is with two. And it seemed like I always winded up, couldn't find either one of them. But this one thing I do, when you concentrate on the important thing, you know, Paul said, or Jesus said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." So tonight we're going to be ministering from the book of Acts. I've really been energized in that. We got down to Tampa the other day, and Brother Rodney's theme of his conference was overflow. I thought, wow, here I just got through ministering on Sunday here in Fort Worth. And then Brother Copeland's been ministering on faith and overflow this week. And it seems like everywhere I go, I run into faith this week. And made a quick hospital call last evening, one of our ladies. I mean, from the time I walked in the door, she started ministering to me. Started ministering faith back to me. And I thought, you know, that's such a thrill to a pastor's heart that someone's listening to what you're saying. And I mean, she said, you know, the doctors say this and they say this and whatever. But she said, "This has just given me some extra time to read my Bible." And she said, "I've already read three or four faith books." And she said, "I'm energized." I mean, she was fired up. I walked right into a wall of faith, good wall of faith. And then my daughter, Susan, someone blessed her with, back in, that was 2001, with Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin, who really was my faith spiritual father. And I could only watch a little bit of it. I want to see the rest of that. But he was being interviewed on TBN by Matt and Lori Crouch. And I didn't have time to see it through because I had an appointment that I had to go to at that moment. But I think maybe I watched 10 minutes, maybe 15, I don't know. And 3 years later, Brother Hagin went home to be with the Lord at the age of 86 years of age. And now you're beginning again to hear kind of a revival, even among some faith ministries. Seemed like a lot of people went other directions, but now I'm seeing people getting back to basics of the Word of God. But as I watched that just for a few moments, I thought a man's already going to be with the Lord, and yet the anointing of just a little bit. You know, a little bit of the anointing goes a long way. And there's nothing that can take the place of the presence of God and the anointing of God. I was raised in a full gospel atmosphere, but it was only until God brought our trails and crossed our trails with Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin that this dear brother and his wife took us under their wing in a four-week meeting and just poured themselves into us, really. He only had two books in print, if that tells you something. I think when he passed away, was it 200 or 200-plus? Just books alone. My brother-in-law did financing at that time, and he was trying to work out a deal to finance the third book, his third book. And traveling in a little travel trailer, and Oldsmobile had over 100,000 miles on it. Nowadays, cars last seemingly longer, but that was the one that you hear him on tape talking about the tires at night being slick and saying, what are you going to do now? What are you going to do now as he's going down the highway? And yet he was ministering the Word of God, ministering faith. And I thought, I get the hint, Lord. So this morning we're going to just minister on the power of faith. Mark 11, 22. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. I want you to, I trust you have something to take notes on, because everything I have to say as far as I can go with it is just bedrock God's Word. Faith in God will change your life. It will change your life. Faith in God will change your life. And you say, well, why is that so important? Well, the first thing that I would emphasize is that we are saved by faith. Saved by faith, according to Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved by faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of works, lest any man should boast. There's only one way to be born again, and that is by faith in the Lord. Only one way, not many ways. I heard just a few moments, I couldn't handle any more, but a man was on television here a while back, and I mean, he made salvation so complicated. Dear God. you have to have a total revelation of Jesus Christ before you can get saved. No, you need a total revelation of how messed up you are in sin. The revelation of Jesus comes after you cross over from darkness to light. We're still learning. We're still growing. We're still increasing, even though we're born again. But we are saved by faith. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the Roman letter says. Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth Jesus, we shall be saved. Shall be saved. I know some people say, well, that's easy salvation. No, it's not easy. It cost Jesus everything that he had to die on the cross of Calvary. When we bought this building, someone called it to my attention. There was not a cross. I don't know why the architecture and so on did not include a cross somewhere on the building or the property. So that's the best we could do for right now. But there is a cross. And it was on that cross that Jesus gave everything that he had that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Well, only those that can be saved, that are preordained to be saved. Now, you talk about something that'll knock soul winning in the head. You start to witness to somebody, well, I don't know if you're preordained or not. Who died and made you God? The Bible said, whosoever. Salvation is for whosoever. God is not willing that any should perish. None. People perish, but not because God makes them perish. And God being all-knowing doesn't bother me at all. I thank God I'm in the family. Thank God I serve a God who knows it all, who can see ahead, and I'm part of the family of God. But I could stay there for quite a while, could stay there for a long time, but we are saved by faith. And you say, well, how do you know what happens to people that come forward and confess Jesus as Lord? Well, those that are sincere get saved. They may not measure up your little 6-inch ruler of salvation over a period of time, but then again, we're not God. Growth comes as you apply yourself. And I tell you, I am so excited as I'm looking around our church. I'm seeing what a pastor can see if he's alert. I'm seeing some of you moving up, and I'm seeing some of you moving in. And I can see the light of God, the fire of God, the interest in God. I can see it. It'll even change where you sit. Amen. Praise God. Church is no longer how long is he going to preach. But we've come to hear from God. We've come to receive from God. So why is faith so all important in our life? Grace provides salvation, but faith, by faith we're saved. Did you know that there's enough grace to save the entire world? If everyone in this entire world at one split second said, we are going to trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, there is enough grace of God that was provided through the finished work of Calvary. Thank God for the old rugged cross. Thank God for the sacrifice of Calvary. There is enough grace on deposit to save the world if the world would turn to Jesus, even all at one time. God's power circuit could handle it. You can't overload heaven. Hallelujah. God knows how to handle that. We're saved by faith. Now here's something that I was not taught in any full gospel association. If it was taught, I didn't hear it. until I was so desperate that God had saved me and brought me through a very difficult automobile accident without a scratch. It was the night that I surrendered my life to God to preach, to do whatever God wanted me to do. I said, okay, God, I've had it. You've got me. And that is the fact that we are kept by faith. It's a scary existence to never know whether you're saved or not saved. Well, I was saved last week. And I know that some people make multiple trips to the altar. But I like what an old Church of God preacher said years ago. He said, if the only way you can get to heaven is put a saddle on the altar and ride it every Sunday, get on your saddle and ride it to heaven. If that's the only way you can compute it, if that's the only way you can put it all together, why, just get on that saddle and ride it to heaven. But the truth of the matter is that God is able to keep what He saves. God knew who you were before He saved you. I mean, God didn't have a board meeting a week after you got saved and said, what did we get into? Just look at this person. Angels, why didn't you tip me off that we were on a dead-end street here? I mean, you know, look at their family tree. Look at. Listen, the Word of God said in 1 Peter 1:5, we are kept by the power of God through faith. And I like to say it like this. I believe that's the way that God is pleased with me saying it, that God will keep you if you want to be kept. I see people that lead a very frustrating life and lifestyle, but they keep flirting with sin. They keep flirting with people that drag them down and drag them back. And who you run with is what you're going to be. I've had to leave a lot of folks behind in my journey over these years. I've had to leave some preachers behind. And I tell you, my best friends are those that are passionately following Jesus with all their heart. But we're kept by the power of God. If you want to be kept, God will keep you. No matter what your background is, no matter how bad you've been, can you imagine Paul's resume coming to a church as a prospective pastor? We have a slight problem here. This man has killed more Christians than we can count. And yet it was this very man that the grace of God was revealed to in such an awesome way. And the Apostle Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. I don't deserve to be who I am and have what I have, but thank God for the grace of God. We're kept by faith. Kept by faith. When you're just hanging in there, look up and rejoice. Lord, I thank you. You're keeping me. 63 years of ministry, and I look back, God has... My Lord, I could write an encyclopedia of the times that God has kept me. There have been times when traps have been set and things I don't even get into or even in my memory bank. But God has kept me. I said, God has kept me. And I chose to be kept. Oh, I'm going to throw a grace one in here on you. You know, there's an occasional time when God will keep you, even if you didn't care whether you were kept or not. Some of you ought to scream, shout, and run the aisles on that one. God gave you a pass on a bad day. Okay, I've got to move on here. Amen. And the Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith. Four times in the Word of God, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, Romans chapter 1, verse 17, Galatians 3, 11, Hebrews 10, 38, the just shall live by faith. And I love the verse that comes to us from Habakkuk, the just shall live by his faith. I can't live by your faith, and you can't live by my faith. We can encourage each other with our faith, but you've got to use your own faith. No matter what anyone else may do in your family or your friends may do, well, they go to church every Sunday and they say this, what do you feel in your spirit? What is the Spirit of God saying to you? And if you don't feel comfortable with it, leave it alone. Move on. Please God, the just shall live by faith. Now we'll get into it a little bit more, and we are this evening probably, but the just shall live by faith. You know, sometimes this faith business is only a church deal, or it's only a revival deal, or it's only when we feel good, or, you know, when we have communion, or when we feel super spiritual. God wants you to use your faith on your job. I want to say that again. God wants you to use your faith on your job to teach you, to train you, to help you, to tell you there are things that you say and things you don't say. There's some people can't keep a job because they can't keep their mouth shut. There's some people that can't keep a job because they have no work ethic. And God is not a God of sloppiness. Read Proverbs. God is a God of excellence. And he certainly does have mercy and grace, and that's why all of us are still in the kingdom of God today. But the just shall live by faith. You need to drive in faith. Whatever you have to do to remind yourself before you turn that key on in your car, speak your faith. No accidents. No traffic citations. No car trouble. And act like it and drive like it. Cooperate with God. You need to use your faith on your marriage. You know, I've met people that, oh, they love the Word of God, and they love church, and they love revival, and they just get all fired up about everything except using their faith on their marriage. You don't go home and not use your faith on your marriage. You say, well, I have a good marriage. I'm telling you how to keep it good. Well, my marriage is, You sure need faith. Amen. The just shall live by faith. Investments. And let me just say this and let it be wherever it applies. There's a whole thing, and it's always cycling, but I've had two or three complaints on that, not in the church, thank God, but there's all kinds of scams going on. People calling people and, well, maybe I did have an indebtedness. And we've already contacted the sheriff's department, and they're ready to bring a warrant out on you. And if you'll just, it's called get your money. It's called scam. And ladies, as well as men, have been victims of this type of thing. But if you'd use your faith, but almost invariably, people said, but I felt a check in my spirit, but I thought fear took over. And fear is twisted faith. Fear is twisted faith. You say, well, I was in fear. I didn't have any faith. Oh, yeah, you had a lot of faith. You had more faith in your twist than you did faith in God. I'm saying something very significant here. Don't let Satan panic you into anything. You don't have to buy anything right now. I mean, when someone's going to put the put the push on me. You got to do it now or it's all gone. Well, just enjoy it wherever it goes. The just shall not live by push and shove. That's one Nichols translation there that will help you. The just shall live by faith. You say, well, if you're in school, you need your faith in school. Faith works. You say, but I'm retired. Oh, you do need your faith. I don't know where I got the idea when I was young and having to use my faith 24/7. Oh, I'll be so glad when I get older and I don't have to use my faith. And I made the mistake of saying that to an older minister one time. He said, son, you're deceived. You need your faith until you draw your last breath. Faith is a lifetime deal. It starts with salvation and goes through your last breath before you go into eternity to make wise moves. Because the older you get, you don't need to make bad decisions. You don't need to lose money. You don't need to make a wrong turn at the wrong time. It's not moving as quick as I thought it would. The just shall live by faith. You know, in 53 years of pastoring as the founders and pastors of this church, thank God. I learned the principles, not only that the Word of God is true, but how to have faith in God. And when all hell breaks loose, or when crazy things happen, or when good people act crazy all of a sudden, I mean, when things just go upside down, what do? You hold steady in faith, believing, knowing that God some way, somehow will see you through. I couldn't tell you how many impossible times. I've lost count of how many impossible times in these years that this church has gone through. But the big word is through. God brought us through. I remember when I was in George C. Clark Elementary School here in Fort Worth, Texas. I remember the teachers. Was it about the third grade or fourth grade, somewhere right in there, encouraging us to reuse our paper and to erase things because we were running out of trees. Running, and my little heart said, oh no, we're running out of trees. I see a lot of trees around the school and on the way home four blocks to where we live. And we're running out of trees. And it just hit me one day when I was in the ministry and flying over a forest. And I said, all I can see is trees. Listen to me. This is a faith statement. It's a real statement. As long as it's God's will for us to be in this world, there will be what we need to function in this world. Some way, somehow, there will be enough water, there will be enough food, there will be enough trees, there will be enough healing, there will be enough of whatever you need. The just shall not live by fear, but the just shall live by faith. I mean, there's always been some kind of a war and a rumors of war. I know that's increasing in the day in which we live. I heard someone just the other day, they were just freaked out about North Korea. And I said, you know, there's always been something to be freaked out about somewhere in the world. Well, what if they fire the big one and it hits us? I said, we go up. Such a deal. Amen. This is real. My boyish heart was filled with fear in that schoolroom. Oh, no, we're running out of trees. And I don't mean to be wasteful and I don't mean to be foolish, but as long as it's God's will for us to live in this world, some way, somehow, God will make a way. I remember Joy and I discussing before we had our first child, is this too wicked a world to bring a child into? Every couple that thinks a little bit along those lines faces the same thing. Should we even have children, as wicked as times are and as bad as times are? Oh, yeah, it's all right, honey. The just shall live by faith. Not by fear. Not by luck. Take care. No way, huh? No. No, put it back on your shelf. I'm not taking your care. Amen. All right. What, are you getting anything out of God's word? I just feel like this is taking a burden off of somebody's shoulders here today. Amen. Your faith is your credit card to receive all that God has promised. I said your faith is your credit card to receive all that God has promised. The Bible said in Hebrews 11:2, by faith the elders received a good report. And I wrote in my Bible a good report card. I remember how I'd take a few extra blocks out of the way going home, and the report card was not what it should have been. But when the report card was good, I did a straight line home. By faith, the elders obtained a good report from God Almighty. Your faith is your credit card to receive all God's promises. I remember years ago, and that's before everybody started changing things around, credit cards changing and so on. I'd had a Texaco card for the longest time, and I received a notice through the mail that your card is no longer valid. Well, I got on the phone and I called and I said, is there a problem? Is it overdue? Oh, no. But they were changing to something else. I don't even remember what it was. It's been a number of years ago. And I remember the frustration and even the anger in my heart. I've been a faithful Texaco cardholder, and they tell me my card is no longer good. Let me tell you something. You'll never go to the throne of grace and God says your card's not good. Your faith won't work. Amen. I've said as long as I'm pastor of this church, somebody will answer that phone. One of the greatest challenges of my sanctification is punch 11. No, that's too late. 6, 12. Amen. Somebody's going to answer the phone, because when you call heaven, you don't get a bunch of numbers that don't work, but you get a straight shot to the throne of grace. That's just a personal thing, but I appreciate it, and I believe others do too. Praise the Lord. Unless we're like in a staff meeting or there's some equipment failure. Amen. But I got over the Texaco thing, and I thought about it the other day. They wanted me to get a Texaco card. I said, hey, what's with you guys? It's been years since I've heard from you. Now you want me to get a Texaco card. You told me my card was not valid. But oh, thank God, you'll never call on the name of the Lord in faith, believing according to the word of God, but that God hears and answers prayer. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Did you know that God's word is your faith food? God's word is your faith food. Now, I love gospel music. I like gospel music that I can understand the words, especially. I love anointed music. I really do. But you know what? Nothing can replace the Word of God. Nothing can replace the Word of God. And this is one thing that Brother Hagin taught us years ago. When there's a need, when something is needed in your life, find a portion of God's Word that applies to that as far as you're concerned in your own heart. Make sure your heart is right with God. Spend some time with God. And then start meditating that. And start depending on that. And start speaking that. and trusting in that. Amen. The verse, the founding verse of this ministry was Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. The whole 41st chapter of Isaiah, all they that be incensed against thee shall be as nothing. You'll search for them and you can't even find them. Amen. I will make you a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. Folks, your Bible is a hope book. It's a life book. It's a strength book. It's a healing book. It's the owner's manual. Oh, it's God's guide to victorious living. The word of God is your faith food. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4 said, man shall not live by bread alone. Let me tell you something. God's word is not fake word. God's word is not bait and switch. I heard that. Thank you for agreeing. Amen. God's word is not bait and switch. He doesn't get your hopes all up and you come to the throne of grace and you crash and burn. You can build your life. You can build your marriage. You can build your finances. You can build your hopes, your dreams, your eternity upon the word of God. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It will not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I've sent it. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Your faith is your credit card. It was the last point, but this one is equally important. God's word is your faith food. Read it. Read your Bible. Hearing the word. You need to read it, but you also need to hear it. Now, occasionally in this day of media, it slips by. But if I have a chance to talk to anybody that comes to preach in this church, I don't care what you look at on your media, find, have your notes and do whatever, bring a Bible to this pulpit. I want people to see the Word of God. Your neighbors need to see you leaving home with the Word of God. If there's any way you can get away with it and get by with it, people on your job need to see something of God's Word around you. On an airplane, I'll just bring it out and open it even if I'm going to take a nap. Hallelujah. I want people to see the Word of God. I had a flight attendant, it's happened more than once, that I was asleep, said, I hate to bother you. You kind of dozed off there. But said, you know, I kept coming by here and coming back. You know, I'd like to talk if we just had a moment here. I used to do this. I used to read this. I used to be a part of this. But I don't know, things, I've drifted away from the Lord. And I just keep coming up and down this aisle and seeing that Bible. Oh, that word speaks. That word speaks even when you're asleep. That word speaks. Little apartment up here on Sylvania. I drive in the, I'm kind of a funny guy. I'm a little nervy sometimes, but I had some of my grandchildren with me, and I drove in a little apartment where we used to live. They said, Granddaddy, you can't just drive in somebody's driveway. I said, well, I just did. You know, I'm looking at a faith project here. I'm remembering the night when Satan said, your ministry will never go anywhere. It's all over. No one will want to hear what you have to say. There's your little sweet wife asleep, and things, no doors are opening. Things aren't happening. Things aren't moving around you. And I got up and I think I found six between New Testaments and Bibles and maybe whatever. I think I got joys in mine, stacked them under the bed. Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about here. Like a Dagwood sandwich, you know. Just put them under my bed and opened every one of them to one of those power faith verses. And went to sleep for the night and said, shove this, devil. Amen. Hey. Amen. Get off my case. My God shall supply all of my need. My God shall supply all of my need. Thank you, Lord. God's word is your faith food. You need to read it and you need to hear it. You need to hear it. You need to hear it preached and you need to hear it taught. You know, it's so amazing how people kind of get off on one extreme and another extreme and another extreme. You know, we need all the word. We need all the word. Someone said, well, which part of the word? Well, faith. Faith is the bell ringer. And of course, grace provided faith. But I mean, we need all the word. There's a time you need to remember there is a hell. It'll keep you witnessing. There's a time you need to remember there is a heaven when the day's sun gets a little bit hot. There's a time you need to realize that there was a hill called Calvary. And that when he was on the cross, you were on his mind. There's a time you need to remember about the prodigal son. Oh, and remember that grace is always on the front porch. Grace is always on the front porch. He saw the boy afar off. He said, welcome home, son. Thank God we're here this morning. Grace always is on the front porch. Mm-mm. Thank you, Lord. Well, oh gracious, I've gone a little longer than I normally go, but this won't hurt you. This will help you. You were saying, Texas, this will help you, all right? You know, your faith is word activated. Mark 11, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the midst of the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Some of you are frustrated because you have what you've been saying. Start saying what you desire to see from God's word. Your faith is word activated. Speak faith to your mountain. Don't speak fear to your mountain. Speak faith to your mountain. Words, words, words. Speak faith words. Two more. Your faith is your victory. Let me ask you a quick question. Do you want to win or lose? Wouldn't that be a sweet question to ask somebody out at the speedway? You know, ask one of those race car drivers. Do you want to win or lose? Man, those guys want to win. They almost kill each other trying to win. They're bumping each other's cars and got their partners, you know, just all kind of things go on that you sweet things wouldn't even believe if you knew in some articles that I've read. They'll do anything to win for an earthly prize. We're not going for an earthly prize. We're going for the big prize. We're going for the big prize. Hallelujah. Your faith is your victory. 1 John 5:4. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. This is faith in what? Faith in God. Faith in God's word. One more I must give you. Faith is not a fire escape. Your faith in God is your life. It's not a fire escape. It's not a fire escape. For I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, and yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who died and gave himself for me. I live by the faith of the Son of God. See, it's not faith in our flesh. It's not faith in who we are, or our family tree, or faith in luck or whatever. It's faith in God. I remember one prayer meeting we had in our former location that was destroyed by the tornado downtown. But in a prayer meeting, I just couldn't get off of it. I kept saying, I believe God. They said for over an hour, you were praying, and I just paused and agreed with you. I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. I believe God more than the newspaper. I believe God more than the evening news. I believe God more than my body. I believe God more than the naysayers. I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. And that's what Paul said on that ship when it looked like everything was lost. And Paul said, there stood by me this night the angel of God whose I am and whom I serve. And he told me, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, Paul, everything's going to be all right. And he said, sirs, I believe God. It shall be even as God said. It shall be. If I look calm, you're sadly deceived this morning. Oh, let it flow from your lips. Let it flow like a river from your spirit. I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. I don't believe what they said. It's contrary to the Word of God. Now, I know, just be sure you're in line with the Word of God. The just shall not live by foolishness, and the just shall not live by presumption. And if you don't take care of business, then business is not going to take care of you. I mean, you've got to live a sensible life. I mean, you do your part, and God will do the rest. You take care of your side of it, and God will take care of the rest. But all things being equal, I believe God. I believe God. And when you say that, your spirit agrees with that. And circumstances line up with that. Hallelujah. And your mind and your body says, thank you. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. God is a good God. Well, everything I've said this morning will help you. You know, what I've said this morning can save someone's life. It can bring health to a sick body. It can bring healing to a sick marriage. It can give you hope in the midst of hopelessness. You know, we live in a crazy world. You better have faith in God. We live in a crazy world. You know why the news is so crazy? Because 99% of the folks that are speaking that news are crazy. They're crazy. They think me standing here is crazy. They think you sitting there is crazy. They think this church being here, or any church being anywhere, is crazy. They don't believe in this. They don't believe in this in the workplace. They don't believe in it in the public schools. They don't believe in it anywhere. They don't want to see a cross. What was it in Florida that they're going to have to take down that big cross there? Because two agnostics, I think one of them was from Canada, or were both from Canada. There were non-residents who filed a complaint. And those who considered the complaint were in the same frame of mind that they were. Honey, this world is not our friend. That's why we got to get them saved. This world is not our friend. I said, this world is not our friend. But Jesus is our friend. And God put you and me here to make a difference. God put us here to make a difference. And I thank God that by the grace of God, as long as I have breath, we are going to be part of making a difference. Amen. Hallelujah. There's an old song we used to sing years ago, trust and obey. For there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Did you get anything out of God's word this morning? I'd love to back up and say the same thing all over again. But you got to go get some fried chicken somewhere. Would you stand with me right now? You know, folks, churches, it's all seasons. Tonight, who knows? I just know the power of the Holy Spirit's going to be here tonight. I can assure you of that. Power of the Holy Spirit to be here tonight. But did you know that this too is revival? Some people don't understand. People need to hear the Word of God. They need to hear how to live. How-to books are selling, whether they're right or wrong. The way you sell a book is a how-to. It's how to do this, how to do that, how to do something else. I trust you took some notes this morning, because in the name of Jesus, everything I've preached in this service this morning is a keeper. Every point is bedrock in God's Word. Grace has already provided it, but faith obtains it. Hold on to faith. Hold on to your faith in God. Oh, trust and obey.